I am preaching a different text from what is in the bulletin. It's a good story that I'm going to read for you, though not quite as dramatic as the one that apparently you were going to hear. I will be preaching Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. Hear the word of God, beginning in Mark 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on his word this morning. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you again that you have revealed yourself to us. You have revealed the truth about ourselves and this world that you have made. You've opened our eyes that we may see, and we pray, O Lord, that you would bless now this text of Scripture to us, bless its reading and its preaching. Please give us hearts that will respond with faith and repentance, and we ask, O Lord, that you would be honored and glorified among us at this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's obviously no shortage of physical maladies that afflict us in this life, but for most of us, there are probably few things that would strike us as being more challenging than the prospect of blindness. For those of us who can see, it's extraordinarily difficult to imagine going through life not being able to use our eyes. Think about how much our lives would change. We couldn't drive, probably couldn't do whatever jobs we have. We couldn't never see our loved ones again, or any beautiful piece of art, or the mountains, or the ocean. How difficult it would be for us just to get around our own homes without stubbing our toes and banging our shoulders. And yet, in this text that is before us, Jesus tells us that if we wish to enter the kingdom of God, if we wish to live before our God and enjoy the life to which he calls us, that we must enter, we must live before him as those who are blind. This text before us concludes a very interesting chapter of Scripture, in which we have a number of very familiar stories to those of us who have been in the church for a time. I believe maybe a year or two ago, I preached one of these earlier texts in this congregation. But let me just alert you to what has just come before in Mark 10, because it really allows us to appreciate what is going on here in our story. Back beginning in verse 13, we read that Jesus is executing his ministry, that people bring children to Jesus. And although his disciples rebuke these people, Jesus accepts these children. He welcomes them and blesses them. And he says that anyone who wishes to enter the kingdom has to receive it as a child. If you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must receive it. You cannot come on your own initiative. You cannot come on your own credentials, your own accomplishments. You must be brought like a little child. That is how you enter the kingdom. And yet, we find these later stories that come in Mark 10. Immediately after the story about the children, we find this rich man who comes to Jesus. And this rich man wants to inherit life, everlasting life. But he wants to do it by his own efforts, by his own obedience to the law. And yet he will not give up his wealth. He will not give up his riches. Here is someone, instead of entering the kingdom like a child, he wants to enter on his own efforts. And he doesn't want to make any real sacrifices in this life in order to do it. And then a little bit later on, we find James and John, Jesus' own disciples, coming to Jesus. And they want to enter life. They want to enter his kingdom. But they want to do it sitting at his left hand and his right hand, exercising power over other people. Instead of entering the kingdom as children, they want to enter the kingdom as rulers, as those who can lord it over others, the way pagan authorities like to rule it, lord it over others. And then we come to our story in which Jesus meets this blind man, blind Bartimaeus. And we learn here that just as we are to enter the kingdom as little children, we are also to enter the kingdom as a blind man. Not as the rich, not as the powerful, but as little children and as the blind. And so we come now to our text. We'll look first at verses 46 through 48 as Jesus goes along the road through Jericho. Jesus, we learn, comes to Jericho, this ancient city, and passes through. Now, we find out earlier in Mark 10 that Jesus and his disciples are on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem in order to die. By the time he makes it to Jericho, this is a very low city, the lowest, elevation-wise, the lowest, it's the lowest populated city on the face of the earth. And Jesus is coming through and going up to Jerusalem, which is actually at quite an elevation. It's not a long journey, however, although it is, you have to make your way up a long ways, only about a day's journey. And we read that there is a big crowd that is with Jesus and his disciples. And since they are on the way to Jerusalem at the time of the Passover, you might have noticed if you were reading the story that the very next text after this is the triumphal entry. So you see that Jesus is probably with this crowd of pilgrims that would go up every year to the city of Jerusalem, making this pilgrimage in order to celebrate this great festival to the Lord. So Jesus and his disciples and this great crowd of pilgrims are going through Jericho on their way to Jerusalem. And so this is something to keep in mind as we come to the story. We recognize that this takes place perhaps only a week before Jesus died. The next thing we know, Jesus is entering Jerusalem and beginning the week in which he is betrayed and tried and crucified. But as Jesus and the crowd is now, they are moving along, and suddenly a blind beggar cries out to Jesus, and we are told his name, Bartimaeus. Many people Jesus meets, most of them are not named, but Bartimaeus, this blind man, is named. And he cries out for mercy for Jesus, and the crowd rebukes him. They tell him to be quiet. And you think about it, it sort of makes sense. They're on their way to a festival. They're with family and friends. They're probably having a good time. Who wants to be bothered by a poor, blind beggar? They tell him to be quiet. And yet, even in these opening few verses, how striking this account is. This blind beggar calling out to Jesus. I want to point out for you five ways that this encounter between Jesus and Bartimaeus so noticeably contrasts with those earlier stories in Mark 10 in which the rich man and James and John are coming to Jesus and encounter Jesus. Notice the differences in these stories. Now, in the earlier stories, the rich man and James and John, these were people of privilege. The rich man, because he was wealthy. And then, as always, wealthy people have certain social privileges, social status that others don't have. And James and John, they had privilege because they were in Jesus' inner circle. And now, here is blind Bartimaeus. He's not just blind, which means he has all sorts of social disadvantages, but he is a beggar, which means he is at the very bottom of the social hierarchy. So what a contrast, just in the very people that Jesus is encountering here. And then we come to a second point. In the earlier stories, both the rich young man and James and John, you might notice they approach Jesus. They take the initiative. They have ideas. They have an agenda. And they come to Jesus in order to let Jesus know what's on their mind and to make their requests of him. Here, well, Bartimaeus is just sitting by the side of the road like he probably did every single day. Jesus comes to him. A third way these stories contrast. If you look at the earlier stories, we find that the rich man and James and John, they have a private audience with Jesus. Pretty nice. They come and talk to him personally, individually. Bartimaeus, he has to cry out over the crowd, over this crowd of festive pilgrims, trying to make his voice heard. We notice a fourth point. And here it gets really interesting. In the earlier stories, the rich young man and James and John, they both call Jesus by a certain title. Both of them call Jesus teacher. Now, there's nothing wrong with calling Jesus teacher. He was a teacher, and it's a title of respect. But you think about this. This is sort of like calling, going to the doctor and calling him or her doctor. Or it's like going, if you're in college and you call your instructor professor. There's nothing wrong with calling a physician doctor. Nothing wrong with calling your instructor professor. But the thing is, those are common titles. There are many doctors in the world. There are many professors in the world. It's respectful, but very ordinary. But did you notice what Bartimaeus calls Jesus? He calls him Son of David. Now, that's not a common, ordinary title. By calling him Son of David, he is putting him in the royal line. He is giving him a kingly title. He is giving him a messianic title. That is what you thought the Messiah was going to be, the Son of David. He is proclaiming Jesus to be something much more than just a teacher. And then finally, earlier in these stories, in Mark 10, both the rich young man and James and John, they promote their credentials to Jesus. The rich young man, he says to Jesus, all these commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. He says, I've kept all of them from my youth. Pretty good. Pretty impressive. James and John, Jesus says, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they say what? "Oh, yeah. No problem." They want Jesus to know what they've done and what they can do. What about blind Bartimaeus? Does he brag about anything? Does he present his resume to Jesus? All he has to say to Jesus, the only thing he has to say to Jesus is what? "Have mercy on me." That's just the opposite of bragging about your credentials. He asked for help. "Jesus, have mercy on me." And then we add to all of that the fact that everyone else is against Bartimaeus. No one's on his side. Everyone is telling him to be quiet, shut up. And yet Bartimaeus keeps crying out for Jesus to hear him. And we think about all of these things and how remarkable it is. Of all the people that we meet in Mark 10, of all the people that Jesus confronts in Mark 10, the most impressive person is blind Bartimaeus. It's not the rich man who probably had the best education of the day. It's not James and John who have been following Jesus and hearing him teach day and night for 3 years. The person with the greatest spiritual understanding, who knows most not only about what Jesus was there to do, but about his own spiritual condition. It's blind Bartimaeus. And so we come to verses 49 and 52. And we find that Jesus stops. The crowd is trying to quiet Bartimaeus, and yet Jesus hears. Jesus knows that he's crying out. And so he stops. But you notice he doesn't go right to Bartimaeus. He doesn't speak to him directly. He says to the crowd that has been rebuking Bartimaeus, he tells the crowd to go and to tell Bartimaeus that he wants to speak to him. So the crowd has to turn their ways and they have to welcome Bartimaeus to Jesus. They do so. They tell Bartimaeus now to take heart and get up, as if they are now Bartimaeus' friends delivering good news to him. And verse 50 tells us that when Bartimaeus hears this, he throws off his cloak. And that may seem like a bit of a strange detail in a very concise story. There's a lot more we might want to hear in this story. And yet we hear this little detail that he throws off his cloak. And it may be there in order to highlight all the more just the difference between Bartimaeus and these earlier figures we've met in Mark 10. You think about that rich man with all of these possessions and doesn't want to give up what he has in order to follow Jesus. And yet here's blind Bartimaeus, a beggar. If he is a beggar, that cloak may be about all that he has. And yet, when he hears that Jesus wants to speak to him, he throws off that one possession that he has because going to Jesus is the only thing that matters. Well, he springs up and he comes to Jesus. And we see yet another difference in the earlier stories. It's interesting, in verse 17, verse 35, the rich man, James and John, they come to Jesus. They seem to have a lot of zeal, just as Bartimaeus does here. But you notice, whereas James and John and the rich man, they came to Jesus on their own, Bartimaeus, he is summoned. He is called by Jesus. He comes to Jesus on Jesus' terms, not on his own. And so then, just as Jesus said to James and John earlier, "What is it you want me to do for you?" He says that to Bartimaeus. "What do you want me to do?" When Jesus asked that to James and John, they gave him a very bad answer. James and John said, "Well, we would like to sit at your right and your left in your glory." But Bartimaeus, he gives a very good answer to the question. He says, Lord, I want to see. He knows his need. He knows his helplessness. He knows his dependence. And he asked that Jesus would provide exactly what he stands in need of. Unlike the rich man and James and John, who wanted things from Jesus. They wanted Jesus to do things for them. But they didn't get what they asked. Blind Bartimaeus, he gets exactly what he asks for. He wants to see, and Jesus gives him his sight. Bartimaeus recovers his sight as a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus acknowledges his faith. He says, it is your faith that has healed you. And again, how remarkable, of all the people that Jesus meets earlier in this text, not one of them does he praise, not one of them does he commend for their faith. And yet blind Bartimaeus, he believes. He believes that Jesus is the Son of David and that he is able to help him. And he receives exactly what he asked for. Now, brothers and sisters, how do we understand Jesus' work? What exactly was Jesus doing? What is the blessing that Jesus is bringing to Bartimaeus? And what is the blessing that is being extended to us as we read this text? Well, on the one hand, we need to recognize that the healing of the blind was one of the great works that was prophesied about the coming Messiah in the Old Testament. If we would look back in the Old Testament prophecies, we would see on many occasions that it was the healing of the blind, giving sight to the blind. That was one of the markers, one of the signs that the people would know that the Messiah had arrived. I read you just one of these examples. In Isaiah chapter 42, verses 6 and 7, the prophet says, I am the Lord. He's talking then to the servant of the Lord who is coming. And the Lord says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those that sit in darkness. This is what the Messiah would do. Open the eyes of the blind. Give sight to those who are in the dark. And we don't want to overlook this basic fact that Jesus gave sight to a blind man. Most of us, probably all of us sitting here this morning, can see. We are not blind. And yet, what Jesus does here is a great encouragement to every one of us. Because it is a reminder that Jesus came and he cares about us holistically. He cares about us even in our bodies. And it may not be blindness that is afflicting you. It may be some other illness. It may be some other injury. And even if you are feeling well today, every one of us is subject to the decay of our bodies. All of our bodies will decline. And if the Lord delays, all of our bodies will die. And yet this is a reminder that Jesus cares about our bodies. And whether or not he heals us from our afflictions in this life, we have the great promise of the resurrection of the body in which we hope. No matter what you are suffering bodily in this life, we know that Jesus cares about us physically. And he will raise every one of us up on the last day who looks to him. And yet this miracle, this healing of blind Bartimaeus, goes even beyond those very encouraging things about Jesus caring for us physically. Because making the blind to see throughout the scriptures, and particularly in the Gospels, is a sign of something even greater. It is a sign of a spiritual blessing. Throughout the scriptures, blindness is symbolic for a spiritual blindness, for a hardness of the heart, for a darkness of our minds that afflicts every single person who is born into this world. Most people are not blind physically, but every single one of us come into this world blind spiritually. Several times, even in the Gospel of Mark, blindness is symbolic for the darkness of our hearts. And we see this of Bartimaeus too, don't we? He was healed not just physically, but he was healed spiritually. How interesting it is that in this last verse, verse 52, Jesus says to Bartimaeus, "Go your way." And what does Bartimaeus do? He gets up and he follows Jesus on his way. Bartimaeus doesn't just go. He goes with Jesus. He goes with Jesus on the road to Jerusalem. And this is not a road of glory. This is not a road of wealth. This is not a road of ease. This is a road that is going to Jerusalem, where Jesus is going to be betrayed and handed over and condemned and crucified. This is a road of suffering and of service. And yet this is the road that Bartimaeus takes. Bartimaeus has not just been healed physically. He has been healed spiritually by the Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, what a fitting climax this story is to the stories of Mark 10. And what a fitting prelude this is to what is about to transpire in the Gospel of Mark, which is Jesus going to Jerusalem to be betrayed and put to death. We see here in this text, in this larger chapter, that there are many in Jesus' day and many in our own day who seek to come to Jesus as the rich or as the powerful. And what that means is that people come or think they can come to Jesus on their own initiative, with their own credentials, thinking about all the great things they can bring into the kingdom. They think that they don't need to give up much in order to enter Jesus' kingdom. They may think that they will come to Jesus' kingdom in order to gain honor and power for themselves. And yet, we see how Jesus knocks down those illusions for the people of his own day, but also for us today. Jesus teaches that it is the little children and it is the blind who know the way into the kingdom. And it is only those who enter as little children and those who enter as the blind who will come to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the two basic characteristics. If you wish to enter the kingdom, if you wish to live in Jesus' kingdom, you must come as one who is brought by the Lord Jesus. And secondly, you must come as one who believes, like blind Bartimaeus. You must come as one who acknowledges your need for help. You must come as one who acknowledges your dependence. One who knows that you don't have anything to bring, but need the healing of Jesus. And do you see how well those things go together? If you enter the kingdom as one who is brought, then what is there left for you to do but to believe? Because if you come as one who is brought, you are acknowledging that whatever you might think you could do, might do, need to do in order to enter the kingdom, Jesus has done that for you. Jesus has accomplished it for you. What do you need to do? You need to believe. You need to trust. You need to rest on him. Salvation by faith, like a blind man, is the fitting companion to salvation by being brought like a little child. And so, brothers and sisters, let us live before Christ. Let us come to him and live before him in the honesty and the humility that acknowledges our childlike dependence upon him and that acknowledges our spiritual blindness. Let us reserve nothing from the Lord Jesus. Let us claim no greatness for ourselves. But let us follow Jesus on his way, on the way to the cross. Though it is a way of suffering, though it is a way of service, let us follow him on that path, acknowledging that this is also a path that leads to the resurrection. When all of our physical ailments, all of our spiritual ailments will be made well. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, how we thank you for this story of blind Bartimaeus, a man who had nothing, a man who was despised, a man who could so easily be ignored and brushed off. But, O Lord, we thank you for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he took notice of the weakest, of the most despised and afflicted, and he healed him. And Father, we pray this day that all of us would not exalt ourselves like the rich man or like James or John in Mark 10. Oh Lord, but may we humble ourselves like blind Bartimaeus and know that we must come before you asking for nothing but mercy, knowing we have nothing that we can bring of our own resources that you need in your kingdom, but knowing that we need a great gift from you, a gift of mercy, a gift of healing, physically, spiritually. Oh Lord, we pray this day that you would hear us as we call out for help. We pray that you would give us hearts to serve you, to suffer with Christ, to serve with Christ, to go with him on the way, though it is the way of the cross. But we pray that you would give us joy and hope and expectation as we live as grateful recipients of the abundant mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this all in his name. Amen.